I'm Mary Welter here with Vince Colonies.
Oh, good morning. Pleased to be joined now by former U.S. attorney, legal expert Joe DiGenova. Nice to have you, Joe. Happy New Year, sir.
Good morning and Happy New Year to everybody.
Good to have you, sir. Let me begin with a topic that you love to talk about, and it's James Comey. He wished everyone a Happy New Year on Twitter. Remember, he had that secret Twitter account, and now he's got it's very public now. He's verified, so he's a big deal. And he writes the following, quote, "Here's hoping 2018 brings more ethical leadership focused on the truth and lasting values. Happy New Year, everybody."
Yeah, America's dirty cop pronounces ethicism as his lead topic for 2018. The government is more ethical today because James Comey is gone. The bottom line is his subtraction from the federal workforce did more to improve ethics in government than any single piece of legislation or regulation that President Trump could write. Comey will go down in history as the worst FBI director, period. He beat J. Edgar Hoover for internal corruption and for abuse of power. No one will top him. And I predict when the IG reports come out, they will say that if he were not already there, if he were still there, he should be fired a second time. And he runs the risk now of being prosecuted. And the first FBI director since L. Patrick Gray to be prosecuted for crimes. He is going to ultimately be charged with a crime. So this is his pre-sentencing plea for mercy.
Well, if any reporters out there are looking to write the postmortem on James Comey's indictment, just look for quotes in Mornings on the Mall and Joe DiGenova, anything he's ever said here about James Comey. Let me ask you about something else that happened last week that it seemed to set off every fire alarm in the press regarding, which is George Papadopoulos. This report in the New York Times that the investigation did not begin with the dossier, did not begin with Carter Page going to visit Russia, despite the fact that, by the way, the New York Times is the one who reported that to begin with. It began instead with a previously basically unknown guy, George Papadopoulos, who the world didn't know until his indictment was handled down by Bob Mueller. What do you make of this news that that Papadopoulos tipped off the Australians to the fact that he was aware of Russia hacking Hillary's emails?
This story is so lame as to be ludicrous. The New York Times, which has given us some pretty good reporting on stuff and also some pretty bad reporting on stuff. This is a cover story being put out by John Brennan and a few other people at the agency trying to deflect attention away from the single most important piece of evidence in this investigation, which, of course, is the dossier. The dossier, which, of course, was used by Strzok and McCabe and Comey, and apparently James Baker, the general counsel of the FBI, to get FISA warrants based on false, unsubstantiated evidence. The submission of those papers and those affidavits by the FBI to the FISA court is a crime, and that is precisely what they are trying to direct attention for, trying to make it look like the dossier was immaterial to the beginning of the investigation. That is nonsense. The dossier was discovered by the Bureau as a DNC Clinton propaganda piece of material, and it was used to bootstrap a federal criminal investigation of a candidate, Trump. The New York Times story last week is a joke. It is an absolute. If the New York Times wants to do some good investigative reporting, I have a good story for them. As you know, the judge in the Michael Flynn case was reported to have recused himself after taking Michael Flynn's guilty plea. That's Judge Contreras of the U.S. District Court in D.C. I learned over the weekend that he did not recuse himself. He was removed from the case. Now, the question for any good reporter at the Washington Post, the alternative universe in D.C., is why was Judge Contreras removed from the case by either the chief judge or the D.C. Circuit? Have you seen a story written about that? Isn't it interesting how people in the press are not interested why the one judge who's taken a guilty plea in this case was removed from the case? And the answer is he was on the FISA court, which approved the FISA warrant. Now, let's see how many stories get written about that over the next few days.
Judge Emmett Sullivan was assigned to take over after Judge Rudolph Contreras recused himself. Judge Contreras, you say, was on the FISA court, and that's why he was forcibly removed from the case against Mike Flynn.
That is what I am told, but he did not remove himself. So ask yourself this question. How could he take the guilty plea? He's a witness in the case.
Okay, so this is interesting for another reason. I want to share with you something. Something that Lindsey Graham, the senator, said going into the weekend last week about what he discovered about the dossier and the FISA court. Listen to this.
And the one thing I can say, every prosecutor has a duty to the court to disclose things that are relevant to the request. So anytime a document is used to go to court for legal reasons, I think the Department of Justice owes it to the court to be up and up about exactly what this document is about, who paid for it, who's involved, what their motives might be. And I can just say this, after having looked at the history of the dossier and how it was used by the Department of Justice, I'm really very concerned, and this cannot be the new normal.
Now, that seems to suggest that he's got a huge problem with the fact that the court was not made aware of the role of Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party.
That is correct. And you will, here's another interesting note that you will find nowhere in the New York Times and the Washington Post. The head of the National Security Division in the Department of Justice at the time was a gentleman by the name of John Carlin. John Carlin resigned on October the 16th, 3 weeks before the election. Nobody in a senior Justice Department post resigns 3 weeks before an election when you think Hillary Clinton's going to win. Why did John Carlin, the head of the National Security Division under Loretta Lynch, resign on October the 16th? What would lead a senior Justice Department official to do that? And the answer is quite simple. It's all about the dossier. When the history of this period is written, the dossier will have been the undoing of every major FBI and DOJ official, because senior Justice Department officials engaged in a fraud on the FISA court, and that will lead to criminal charges being placed against many of them.
Joe, we have a lot to talk to you about, so we're going to hold you over here because there's just so much going on. We need your need you to clarify for us.
And we want to get to Huma Abedin's emails, too, and how they ended up in Russian hands. All ahead. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you in a second. All right, you know who else is bringing the heat? Joe DeGenova, sticking with us here on Mornings on the Mall. Glad to have you, Joe. I want to ask you about Huma Abedin. There's new documents out. The Daily Caller reporting on this. Judicial Watch was able to get them in a lawsuit revealing that Huma Abedin had been sending passwords to government systems, to include her laptop, to her personal Yahoo account. We also know now that there was that every Yahoo account on the planet was hacked by a Russian agent, and that means that Huma Abedin, a top government official, had private data end up in the hands of nefarious Russian actors. What's your reaction to all that?
Obviously, the Huma Abedin is a part of the greater Clinton email server case, which was improperly and illegally and unconstitutionally handled by James Comey of the FBI and Loretta Lynch. It's obvious that very serious crimes were committed by Secretary Clinton, her lead staff. What other reason would immunity have to be given to Cheryl Mills for the production of her own laptop and then have those laptops destroyed by the FBI in a bizarre conspiracy among law enforcement officials to cover up for Hillary Clinton to ensure that she got elected? Huma Abedin is just part of a puzzle. Clearly, they violated the Espionage Act. There's never been any doubt about that, notwithstanding the insane news conference that James Comey held on July 5th, 2016. Abedin case should be reopened. The Clinton case should be reopened. The email server case should be reopened. And this time, the people who should be the subject of the investigation not only are Clinton, but senior FBI and DOJ officials who threw the case. Make no mistake about it. Loretta Lynch and her hench people at the Department of Justice threw the Clinton case. They threw it. These were all dirty cops. Lynch is such an embarrassment as an attorney general. It's hard
I think
to
you mean,
mention her name.
I think you mean to say the Clinton matter. We don't refer to it as a case.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I got carried away.
Really clear
with
here.
Logic and reality.
This strikes me as bizarre for a number of reasons. One of them, of course, is that you have guys like Mike Flynn who've been indicted for lying to the FBI. Mm-hmm. Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills were in the exact same position. We know now, thanks to a bunch of public records revealing that they denied knowledge of Hillary Clinton's private server entirely to the FBI, despite the fact that there were prior emails that WikiLeaks released showing they had knowledge.
I commend everybody an Andy McCarthy article last week about reopening the email investigation, starting with a gentleman named Mr. Competta, who was the server guy who actually destroyed tens of thousands of emails but forgot that he had done so.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary said 37 times she couldn't remember things because of her head injury, but when the FBI agents conducting that investigation wanted to subpoena her health records, Comey and Lynch would not allow it. And here's an interesting fact to pile on top of all of this. When you have a leak of classified information, there is a law which requires the Director of National Intelligence to do an immediate damage assessment, whether the agency who's been compromised requested or not. James Clapper, the head of the DNI, never ordered a damage assessment of the Hillary email server compromises. Now, if you need, this morning, when I say the names Clapper, Contreras, Huma Abedin, John Carlin, the former head of the National Security Division, that there are no answers to these questions tells you how corrupt the Justice Department was under Loretta Lynch and James Comey. And let me just say something to people. The Washington Post last week ran two editorials, one defending the IRS under Lois Lerner and one defending the FBI under James Comey. When you have a newspaper as significant as the Washington Post, at its editorial level, believing that nothing was wrong at either one of those agencies and saying so in writing, you have a Democratic Republic problem. Governance requires truth. When the Post says democracy dies in darkness, those friggin' guys just turned out the lights.
Joe, I wanted to talk to you about something that WikiLeaks posted on Sunday. They revealed that a New York Times reporter by the name of Scott Shane, who is the national security reporter for the Times, used to feed State Department email updates of the stories that the paper would publish days before the stories would appear. So he would give a timeline to Philip Crowley, who at the time was the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs under Clinton's State Department, when she was Secretary of State. He would say, okay, this story's coming out on Tuesday. This is what we're reporting on Wednesday,
right,
on Thursday, etc. In order, there's two theories, either to give them time to have a response to it, so they knew what was coming so they could have a response, or the administration could have some kind of distraction, a bigger story come out, so that doesn't get any play, what was going on in the State Department.
Well, the notion that there was, quote-unquote, collusion between the mainstream media and the Obama administration, particularly at the State Department, where the reporters loved Hillary Clinton and would do anything to help her get elected, is not news. I'm not surprised by any of that the press was actually sharing its stories pre-publication. Now, can you imagine? These are the people that went ballistic over an investigation into the Pentagon Papers, and all of a sudden, they don't have any problem colluding with the subjects of their stories to create a favorable impression of a Secretary of State and a president. As these investigations proceed, and I am more than certain at this point that there's going to be a new grand jury into the email server, which will include senior Justice Department and FBI officials as their targets. The sad state of American journalism is it's not your mother's journalism anymore, and it's lost. And getting it back is going to be a pretty tough job.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people out there, a lot on the conservative side, who are trying to practice it well. And Joe, we really appreciate you stopping by with us here on Mornings on the Mall.
My pleasure. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you.